Hello and welcome to Faith Conversations. My name is Mel Lorenz, and I'm really glad you decided to listen today. We talk to people from all different walks of life, people who come to us from different parts of the world, authors and leaders and people that have whatever insight into the connection between real life and real faith. And today my guest is Rachel Barak, who is the general manager of a very significant online resource called Bible Gateway. I'm guessing that as soon as I say that, many of you will know what I'm talking about already, but it's a phenomenon. It's a very helpful tool, and also it gives us insight as to our relationship with Scripture today. Thank you, Rachel, for talking to us today.
It's my pleasure to be here, Mel. Thank you.
All right, Rachel. Let's start with people that may not know Bible Gateway, or they only know it in a cursory way. What exactly is Bible Gateway?
Bible Gateway is, as you said, Mel, it's a phenomenon, but really it's a phenomenon inside a regular old website. BibleGateway.com is the URL. It's been around for over 18 years now, which seems like a long time, and also the time has really flown by. Simply put, it is a site that makes the Bible available for reading in many different languages and translations. It was started as a ministry by a young student back in 1993. He had a ministry heart, and I think he only had access to just a few translations back then. But over the years, the site's really been blessed in its history to have retained that singular focus, which is simply making Scripture freely accessible around the world. And so it's grown steadily. It's become really astonishingly large. To my knowledge, at this point, it is the most highly visited of any single Christian website and is actually among the top 500 most visited websites on the entire internet.
You know, that's a story in and of itself that I don't think anybody particularly had a strategy to that end. It's just that there was Scripture and people are hungry for Scripture. They knew that if they went to Bible Gateway, or actually, I think if you start to Google Bible, the first thing that comes up is Bible Gateway probably, and they get the Scriptures there. You can look up a verse. You can get to a chapter quickly. How many different versions of the Bible and language groups are represented on Bible Gateway right now?
At this moment, we have 111 Bible translations available on the site. That represents 54 different languages. But we also have, well, now more than 50 additional translations that are simply in the process at this moment of being converted and digitized for display and search. We have a number of amazing Bible translator and publisher partners around the world who work really hard on all these translations and are gracious enough to allow us to freely distribute them. We will continue adding more and more Bible translations to the site as often as we are able. Significant number now, but continuing to invest in growing that total number.
Give us a couple of examples, Rachel, of languages that aren't the best known languages that are represented on the site.
Oh, sure. Well, we do obviously focus on making some of the best known languages available. We do have a number of English translations and Spanish translations, but we also have Dutch and German. We've got languages that I don't even know how to pronounce, like Ilongo and Duoluo and Malayalam, those kinds of languages as well. And again, those are interesting translations that we certainly don't have a huge number of readers paying attention to, but it just takes one for that to be a blessing to someone. And obviously, there's been a need for that in the world. Otherwise, the Bible translators out there would not have focused on creating it and providing it. Interestingly, Mel, 25%, give or take, in a given month, of our audience is international, outside the United States. And that's a pretty significant raw number. And we're very blessed to be able to provide that kind of a service overseas.
Who are the people that use Bible Gateway, Rachel?
Well, the total audience on Bible Gateway is large enough that I could at least jokingly say just about everyone. A lot of people visit Bible Gateway for research and academic purposes. It's a free reference resource, certainly, for those looking to the Bible as a reference work, but as you might assume, the vast majority of our visitors are Christians who are seeking spiritual encouragement through the Word of God. People may visit to quickly look up a verse, or they may come daily to read devotionals or do in-depth Bible study. What we know about our audience through some of our surveys and web statistics is that most of our visitors are middle-aged, middle-income Christians who go to church regularly and love to read scripture. And as I said, we do have a significant audience from outside the United States, but the majority of our folks are still U.S.-based.
What do you know about the value that the many people that come find in Bible Gateway?
Well, I think one of the biggest advantages is that it's free. It's free. It doesn't cost anything, and it won't for as long as we are able to keep it that way. And it's easy enough to use. A lot of people can't afford expensive Bibles or Bible study software. And Bible Gateway really exists to ensure that everyone has access. So that's a key feature. A couple of the sort of functions and features that people love on Bible Gateway I wanted to note for you. I think one of those things is audio resources. We have a tremendous population of people who love to listen to scripture while they're doing other things, maybe instead of the radio. And so they'll turn on the Bible audio. They may listen to it while they're reading as well. And we have scriptural audio in a number of different languages and translations. We also have the ability for folks to look at different translations in parallel. So you can compare a word-for-word translation with a thought-for-thought translation, for example, all on one page. And people really like that sort of functionality. We're also investing right now in trying to bring forward more devotional material and reading plans and other extra biblical resources and helps just to assist people with not just reading and consuming the scripture itself, but really understanding and applying it.
The incredible amount of traffic at Bible Gateway and the people that come and the surveying that you do and so on, in a way, gives us a window into how people are relating to scripture today. Obviously, first of all, they have a hunger for it, which is a tremendous thing. When we saw the communist countries of Eastern Europe fall, communism fall, we saw people just clamoring to find God and to use scripture. But in general, what are you learning about how people relate to scripture today by what you're seeing?
Well, interestingly, I think that what I am learning is more of a disappointment than I would like to confess. And that is that there's this sense that social media and microblogging and short status updates on Facebook and Twitter, things like that, have really encouraged sort of a soundbite view of scripture. We use these social media tools, and it's not even necessarily so immediate. I think even going back to simply using the book chapter verse reference numbers, that we have a tendency to write down or express one single verse or a portion of a verse, and certainly now through social media, share it out with friends. While I love and encourage the sharing of scripture on a regular basis, I think we run the risk today, and we see this in some behaviors of our visitors on Bible Gateway, of missing scriptural context by consuming just sound bites. We read just a small tidbit and we make assumptions about it, what it means. And because we're reading scripture, we maybe allow ourselves to have the illusion of biblical literacy. But we really don't fully understand the meaning of the scripture that we're reading because we haven't done a fully comprehensive review of it. And when we don't understand the whole picture, I think we run the risk of misinterpreting it, wrongly applying it, and ultimately can do a lot of harm. And so it's sort of a cautionary tale, really, but the trend I see, I'd like to see changed, which is a deeper, longer engagement, having all of us make more time simply to read and dig in to the scripture that we're reading and not simply accept the soundbite version.
Well, I'm really glad you made that emphasis, Rachel, because it's certainly true, not just with reading scripture, but with reading everything. You can only get comprehension if you read something in context. And I think it's significant you're admitting that disappointment or fear because technology, of course, can put things into smaller bites. Although I think on something like Bible Gateway, with a click of the button, you can take a verse and expand it out to a wider context. And it just comes down to the choice of the reader to say, I'm not just going to go look for a verse that I can apply like a Band-Aid to my life. I want to understand God's Word. What do you see as some of the advantages of technology in either studying or just reading Scripture today, Rachel?
I think the main thing is access. You know, more and more people are getting their Bible reading in online or through mobile devices. I confess I'm one of those people who sits in church and I never actually open the Pew Bible. I use Bible Gateway on my iPhone. People probably think I'm being irreverent surfing the web during the sermon, but really I am reading scripture and following along in various translations with the sermon. And that access, which is more immediate and timely, is actually a really big gift in a number of different circumstances I've found in my own life. Not only can I look the scripture up in various translations while sitting in the pew, but perhaps I'm out to lunch with a friend who's in need. I have immediate access to the Word of God to assist me in that time. Or while listening or reading to the news, which today more than ever I think should send us all back to scripture for reinforcement. And reading what God has to say in that moment about a specific matter and in a circumstance, I think, is a really big gift that technology allows us to exercise.
This is the end of part one of a two-part interview.